RSMR, the Fund Rating Experts. Our podcasts are aimed at professional financial advisors. My name's Katie Sykes, Client Engagement and Marketing Manager at RSMR, and each month I chat to one of the team about pertinent topics related to investment. This month, I'm talking to Stuart Smith, Head of Managed Portfolio Services at RSMR, and we're going to be discussing investment potential in Japan and asking, are you big in Japan? Japan hasn't been a particularly well-loved market over the last few decades, but convincing performance in 2023 has well and truly put the cat among the pigeons. And all eyes now are on how far this new direction of travel will go. Stuart, what's the performance story?
Well, in local currency terms, Japan outperformed the US market last year, which is quite an unknown fact. But most of that was driven by the currency. So at the start of 2023, the Japanese yen was at a level of 130 against the US dollar and actually went up to 150 around November time. As recently as 2020, it was actually close to parity with the US dollar at the level of 100. If we look at the major currencies, only the South African rand performed worse than the Japanese yen last year.
And if you want definitive proof of that, you can consult the esteemed Big Mac Index, which shows that you'll pay $5.69 for a Big Mac in the US, but only $3.04 in Japan.
Yeah, the strength of sterling and the US dollar has reduced market returns for some investors, but the significant weakening of the yen continues to attract foreign investors.
For a sterling investor, then, over a three-year period, Japan has outperformed Asia and emerging markets, but it's still a laggard when it's compared to the UK, Europe and the US. What's the forecast, Stuart?
Well, in terms of economic growth, the consensus forecast is for 2% growth in 2023, but less than 1% in 2024, which may not seem quite so outstanding, but it is actually higher than the forecast for the UK and Europe for the same year.
Okay, and what's happening with inflation in Japan?
Well, for the last 25 years, inflation has largely remained below 2% in Japan. But in early 2023, it actually rose above 4%, but has remained well below the heights that we've seen in UK and Europe, and particularly the double-digit inflation we've seen in the UK.
And the Japanese government and central bank are confident that they can soon hit the 2% target and maintain it. And this will create a confident backdrop for investors. What about interest rates then?
Well, interest rates in Japan were actually cut to zero back in 1999. So that's well before the GFC. And they've basically stayed there for 25 years.
Wow, that's incredible. The current level of minus 0.1% was actually reached in 2016. So it's safe to say that low inflation and interest rates have become the norm in Japan. With the recent increase in inflation, though, there are indications that the interest rate pattern does need to change.
Yeah, that's right. The yield curve control policy has already been tweaked over the last 12 months, with a 10-year Japanese government bond yield of 1%. It's now becoming a reference point rather than a cap. And there are many commentators actually suggesting that the cap will be removed altogether.
What's the rhetoric? Basically, a structural end to deflation and steady economic growth?
Well, the Nikkei 225, so the stock market index for the Tokyo Stock Exchange, reached its highest level in 1989. So it was around the 39,000 level. But then it began a close to 25-year downward trajectory, so actually falling below 10,000 in 2002 and again in 2013.
And we've actually seen a momentous rebound in recent years, and this has meant that the index is now tantalisingly close to the all-time high. What's happening at a corporate level?
Well, Prime Minister Kishida is pushing corporate prosperity and incentivizing companies to perform better. The Nikkei 400 Index, which is a collaboration between Nikkei, the Japanese Exchange Group, and the Tokyo Stock Exchange, was actually launched to encourage better corporate governance and shareholder value. And companies are scored in this index based on return on equity and operating profit. And then that's overlaid with qualitative factors relating back to corporate governance and disclosure for the end investor.
Historically, Japanese companies have taken a defensive stance, but hoarding cash doesn't maximise returns. The levels of net cash have reduced over the last couple of years, and the number of dividends and share buybacks has been on the increase as a result.
Yeah, it has. And on top of this, the cross shareholding is now discouraged. So with independent management promoted as a way forward. And from August this year, the ratio of female directors must be at least 30% of the total board members.
Right, that's great. Well, these big shifts in and out of the boardroom will generate improved corporate governance and lead to better outcomes, no doubt. Fund management groups have differing investment approaches, but they do collectively recognise the evolution of the backdrop in Japan and the unharnessed potential, do they not?
Absolutely. The Tokyo Stock Exchange, with relation to their corporate governance code, has actually asked companies currently trading at a price to book value of less than one, which is around 45% of the index currently, to either what they've termed as comply or explain, which basically encourages businesses to act to improve their shareholder value.
So this should cleanse the pool and improve the overall quality of Japanese businesses, which in turn will give the end investor more clarity and improve shareholders' returns, enticing both domestic and foreign investors to the market. We know that foreign investment has fluctuated a lot over the years, but what can you tell us about domestic investment?
Well, the Japanese NISA, which is the equivalent of the UK's ISA, so the Japanese government's tax-free stock investment program for individuals, it's been overhauled basically to encourage domestic investors to get back into the market and to drive more investment flows into funds and equities. A new growth investment NISA will be launched. The annual limit on the newly consolidated NISA will be tripled, and the tax exemption period will be abolished. So lots of encouragement for domestic investors.
Absolutely. So you know what I'm going to ask you now. Are things easy when you're big in Japan?
Well, there are obviously risks. Certainly, the return of ultra low inflation. So, will inflation fall from its current levels? Chinese potential influence. Chinese economy is going through a difficult period at the moment, and the fluctuation of the currency, and particularly any significant strength in the Japanese yen versus the other major currencies. There are reassuring signs that Japan is well and truly on the up. A tight labor market should encourage wage growth, and better balance sheet management and improved capital allocation will certainly improve the corporate outlook.
And the exponential increase in the number of activist investors in Japan in the last few years also adds to the sunny horizon. So, as the song says, things will happen while they can. Things could well be easy when you're big in Japan. Stuart, thanks very much for joining me, and thanks to everybody for listening. And we'll see you again next month. Our comments and opinion are intended as general information only and do not constitute advice or recommendation. Information is sourced directly from fund managers and websites. Therefore, this information is as current as is available at the time of production. RSMR Portfolio Services is wholly owned by Rayner Spencer Mills Research Limited and is authorised by the Financial Conduct Authority. The value of investments can go down as well as up.